Man, it's Christmas again. You know those wonderful songs that we sing, you know, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and then like on the 26th, you're like, oh yeah, that stuff's got to go, we're done. See, there's always wonderful songs that we use and we sing, and carols are just something that sticks with us all day, and this song will probably be stuck in your head, but I'm sure you know the song, We Need a Little Christmas. Oh, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Yeah, don't sing it. That's okay. But listen, in one of those stanzas, it comes on and it says, for we've grown a little leaner. Well, okay, so maybe that's a lie. But and then it goes on to say, we've grown a little colder. We've grown a little sadder. And we've grown a little older. But we need a little angel sitting on our shoulder. We need a little Christmas now. Boy, we sure do need a little Christmas, don't we? This is the time of year when it's Christmas. It should be one of the happiest, most exciting times of our lives. Not only here and at Easter, but every day of the year. And I don't know about you, but I know some people have their Christmas lights on and the gutters and their bushes are all decorated and all this stuff. And some of you put them up after Thanksgiving. Some of them just put them up just recently. I don't know. Some of you might have had them on all year long. I don't know. But inside the house, you have all the decorations and the lights inside and all the fragrances of the holiday season of the maple and the stuff and the food and the... I better hurry up. We're getting hungry. So, but here's the idea. Christmas is so wonderful. Amen. Except when you have the television on. And you listen to the news, or possibly while you're on Facebook. You know, it's an amazing thing. There's always wars and rumors of wars. You know what? Every time you turn on the news, you always hear something. Oh, we're just on the brink of something kicking off, World War III. And it drags you down. It brings you low. And here in America, it's so sad because it seems that we have our own Cold War going on against each other. Something triggers something. Fierce political battles? Oh my goodness. You get on Facebook, that's just so depressing. Fierce political battles going back and forth. Family members, long lifetime friends, unfriending each other and just going their separate ways after so long. What a sad, sad thing. New arguments come up all the time and it leaves people a little more sadder, leaves them a little more angrier. And it leaves a lot of darkness in the wake. This time of the year, we need a little peace. But it seems that there is no peace. In many ways, we need a little Christmas is necessary to lift up our spirits, to give us that hope and peace. Many would agree that this is an emotional draining time of the year. A lot of people get very drained at this time of the year. Our culture has grown a little colder. They've grown a little sadder. They've grown a little older. And we need to do something to refocus our hearts to bring back that peace and hope. And so, what could make one feel a little older and sadder and colder outside of dwelling in darkness? You know that? Darkness just drains the life out of a person. And so, but you have to realize that light has already come into that darkness. Thousands of years ago, John said in John 1, 4, and 9, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And light shines in the darkness. But the darkness didn't comprehend it. Therefore, there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. And this man came as a witness, to bear witness to that light, that all through him might believe. Now, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man that comes into this world. Sadly enough, when Jesus came into the world, many didn't receive him. And even today, many don't receive Jesus as well. John 1:11, John said, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The rejection of Jesus Christ is still the root of all the darkness that we have in this world. The rejection is what gives us that sin and rejection of Christ makes this world a dark place to be in. But we need a little Christmas right this very minute. But here's the question. Where does the Christmas story end? Where does Christmas stop? Did the Christmas story stop when the shepherds went back to their fields? Did the Christmas story end when the wise men a few years later come to see Jesus as a baby and went back to their home country? Where does Christmas end for us? Does it stop at midnight on December 25th? That's a good question. For many of us, it'll stop on December 25th and we won't think about Christmas until next year. But here's the point. What began on that Christmas day at Bethlehem was ultimately fulfilled some 33 years later at the cross. Amen. The Christmas story doesn't stop at December 25th. The gospel that Jesus proclaimed during those years and confirmed with his death and his resurrection is the message that we are told, as the song and hymn is sang, to go and tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Bethlehem signaled the promise of the Savior who had arrived. Luke 1, 46 and 47, Mary said, "Man, I'm glad that I have a Savior in God." Matter of fact, she recognized her need of a Savior. In verse 46 and 47, she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." The Savior had come. Preaching Christmas to people some 30 years later, when Jesus was an adult, and John the Baptist looking and seeing Jesus. In John 1:29, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Listen, we talked about this before. Jesus was not born on Christmas. Listen, Jesus is God. And so God is eternal. He didn't have a beginning or doesn't have an ending. He is eternal. And so the point is, Christmas is just where we celebrate God indwelling flesh. Can you imagine that? That's the miracle of Christmas. Not only the virgin birth, but the miracle is that this flesh can actually contain the glory of God. Amen? And that's what happened on that first Christmas day. Paul says in Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son to indwell flesh." That's Christmas. He came in the likeness of a man, Paul said in Philippians 2:8. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. See, Jesus indwelt flesh and he came to shed his blood and die. See, there's no reason that we, at Christmas time, why can't we talk about the resurrection? Because it's all part of the gospel presentation. Not just his birth at Christmas, his death at Easter. This is whole part of the gospel presentation of what we believe. Listen, it's the threefold foundation of our Christian faith. It's built on three things. Number one, it's built on the virgin birth. Can I tell you something? There has never been a man in this world, in this history, that has ever been born of a virgin, except for Jesus Christ. In Genesis 3:15, it said that it had to be that way. Because here's the idea. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." If Jesus Christ, who is God, was not born of a virgin, then he had an earthly father. And then the earthly father is what passes down the sin nature to your child. If he was not born of a virgin, then he was a sinner like everybody else. That's vitally important. Understand, in the gospel presentation, he had to be born of a virgin because he was God. He could not have that sin nature. God cannot sin. Is it possible? I pray not. Now listen, we rely on his virgin birth. Secondly, is the death on the cross. His crucifixion. Listen, Leviticus 17:11 says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood. And God said, I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." See, we believe in his virgin birth because he was God. He didn't have an earthly father. And secondly, we believe in his death on the cross because God required a blood sacrifice. Why did he require a blood sacrifice? Couldn't he just said anybody that believed in him would go? Why was it the blood? The Bible doesn't say. I don't believe. But I would say this. God required a blood sacrifice because he said the life of the flesh is in the blood. You can have eternal life by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was signifying of life. It's the significance of life. It's in the blood. And so Jesus shed his blood to make atonement for our souls. So it's the virgin birth. It's the cross. And lastly, and most importantly, is the resurrection. See, this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is useless. It's in vain. Our faith is empty. If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, what we do here on Christmas morning is useless. It's just a celebration. Might as well break out the gifts and open your wallets and give me your money. As the hymnist wrote, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Those who receive Jesus Christ, those that have placed their trust in his virgin birth and his crucifixion and his bodily resurrection and what he accomplished, you have the proof within yourself. When the world says, well, how do you know Jesus lives? You ask me how I know he lives? Because he lives within my heart. Amen. That's what we need. We need to go and tell it on the mountain. Not just about his birth, but of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. That's what we believe. Every believer has the responsibility to go and tell it on the mountain. There is no exceptions. In Matthew 28, Jesus gave us all authority. All authority was given to him. And he gives us all authority backing us up. And not only that, but his presence is within us as well. And we're to go and preach it on the mountain of his birth, his sinless life, his death, burial, and his resurrection. And so that's the gospel. And Paul says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My question to you is, have you ever placed your trust in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross? See, just because he died and shed his blood, God requires a blood sacrifice. But just because he died and shed his blood doesn't mean it automatically applies. You have to receive that gift. You may have gifts under the tree at Christmas, but it's not yours until you take it and open it up. You have to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. If you've never confessed that you're a sinner and asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and save you, friend, you're still in your sins. Would you come and accept the greatest gift that you will ever have, not only just at Christmas, but to give you hope and peace beyond your comprehension all year round? Forgiveness of sin, heaven, and eternal life can be yours. Let today be the day of salvation. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, this being Christmas Eve, God, that we celebrate your Son's birth when he stepped out of heaven and he indwelt flesh and he came to be born of a virgin so that he could live a sinless life, knowing that he was going to die on the cross for us. Lord, to leave the palaces of heaven, to leave heaven, to come down here to indwell flesh, what a gift. Paul said it was the unspeakable gift. Father, we pray that if there's someone here this morning that's never placed their trust in your Son, Lord, may today be the day of salvation. Let Christmas be the day that light has come into their heart. Lord, we offer this invitation and we give it to you and we just say, have your way, Lord, have your way. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.